sensing I might have blundered into some kind of trouble, I did what any guilty fid would do. Shot a furtive glance at the hierarchs. They were looking back at me. Most were glassy-eyed, but some were putting their heads together, starting a discussion. One of these, I noticed, was my old friend, Varax the Inquisitor. I actually derived a kind of relief then, from knowing that I was helpless now. Whatever basket of bugs I had overturned, I couldn't change the result now. Most of the audience heard nothing remarkable in this piece and listened politely, so I concentrated on bringing it to a clean finish. But seeing movement in the corner of my eye, I glanced over to see that the guys in the loincloths, who had appeared to have been ignoring the ought so far, had broken ranks and shifted position so that all of them could get a clear view of me. When I finished, there ought to have been silence, the polite response to a well-sung number. But some of the thousanders were still muttering to one another. I even fancied I heard a snatch of music being sung back to me. In the vast swathes of pews behind the other screens, small knots of frogs and sewers were still talking about it and being shushed by their neighbors. The men in the loincloths stepped up and did a computational chant of their own. It was weird-sounding in the extreme, being built on modes completely different from ours. It was hard to believe that vocal cords could be trained to make such sounds. But I had the feeling that, as a computation, it was quite similar to what I had done. When they got to the end of the sequence, the pot-bellied one sang a sort of coda that, if I understood it correctly, stated that this was only the latest phase of a computation that his order had been carrying out continuously for 3,600 years. The last group were the Matterites, one of the very few Mathic orders that believed in God. They were the residuum of a centenarian order that had gone 100 in the centuries just after the Reconstitution. They wore their bolts over their heads, completely covering their faces, except for a screen across the eyes. They sang a kind of dirge, a lament, I realized, for having been torn from the bosom of their consent, and a warning, as if we needed any, that they weren't going to hang out with us any more than they absolutely had to. It was well carried off, but struck me as whiny and a bit rude. These performances were the next-to-last part of the Ought of Inbrace. Though I hadn't fully understood it at the time, we had already, earlier in the Ought, been struck off the register of peregrines and formally enrolled in the Convox. We had renewed our vows, and funny-looking documents, handwritten on animal skin, had been dispatched to our home consents, letting them know we had arrived. The songs we had just sung represented our first, albeit symbolic, contributions to whatever it was the Convox was supposed to be doing. All that remained was to stand there while everyone else, the thousands behind the screens, stood up to sing a canticle stating that our contributions were duly accepted and that they were glad to have us. During the final verse, the hierarchs began parading out through the screen into the Unarian's nave. We, the Imbrace groups, followed them in the same order as before. I brought up the rear. We had, at least symbolically, entered through the day gate and the visitor's nave as seculars, and now, having become avowed once more, we exited into a math. The canticle began to lose cohesion as the last of the hierarchs filed out, and by the time I stepped over the threshold, leaving the chancel empty behind me, the melody had been devoured by the shufflings and mutterings of the Convox taking their leave.